This is Real Life with Laura.
Penn Jillette. I know you're working on funding a director's cut. Is it a horror film? Is it a comedy?
Yeah.
What the heck is it?
Yeah, the movie's idea is to have me be a bad guy, which I really want to be, and I'm suited for it. You know, I'm 6'7".
You're huge.
Pounds.
Yeah, you're massive. You're a massive man.
I should be a frightening bad guy.
So do you want to be like Richard Kiel from, you know, Jaws from the James
yeah.
Bond deal? Is that what you want?
Well, you know, that's what big guys are supposed to do.
That's, I'm telling you.
Real Life with Laura. Share this episode with your friends. And don't forget to come back for a brand new episode next week on PodcastOne.com.
The following program is a PodcastOne.com production.
Welcome to Ron Paul, the weekly podcast. I'm Charles Goyette. Congress has kicked the can down the road again. After weeks of debate about the debt ceiling, all that was decided was to keep funding the government with deficit spending. And implicit therein is a reliance on the gullibility of America's creditors, but the gullibility shoe is on the other foot. Treasury interest rates bottomed 15 months ago, and they doubled in the following year. Treasury auctions have been thinly attended, and the U.S. government's primary foreign creditor has wagged its finger in America's face, calling for an end to the global dollar standard and a de-Americanization of the world. Now, does this sound like an opportune time to commit the country to a higher debt ceiling and to make plans to borrow a few trillion more dollars? We'll talk about it with Ron Paul right after this.
I'm Ron Paul. I'd like to thank our sponsors. Their support makes these conversations possible.
Have a website for your business? Great. But now what? With 95% of consumers now turning to the internet before making purchases, simply having a website is no longer enough if it's not being found in search results. But online marketing can be confusing, and simply put, it's hard to do it all and do it well. ESIOH.com, pronounced SEO, is making it easy and affordable for small businesses to be found when potential customers search Google, Bing, and Yahoo. ESIOH.com has made it their mission to provide online marketing that will help grow your business's online presence by getting your website in front of as many interested searchers as possible. Never outsourced, all of their work is done in their California office and is 100% compliant with Google Webmaster Guidelines, which means the methods they use to improve your online presence today will in no way penalize your website in the future. No contracts, commitments, or setup fees either. Simply $599 a month. 30-day, no questions asked, 100% money-back guarantee. Try them out for a month, and if it's not what you expect or you change your mind, they'll give you your money back. They are that sure they'll exceed your expectations. You will not find a company that works harder to increase your online presence. So go to ESIOH.com now and tell them you heard about them on the Ron Paul Podcast.
Thank you, Charles.
Dr. Paul, did those facing down the Washington establishment and trying to hold the line on the debt ceiling increase ever really have a chance? Were there actually any members of Congress who were as serious as you were in Congress about stopping a debt ceiling increase, and did they ever have any kind of a chance at all?
No, they never had a chance. There were a few there that would stick their principles and vote against the spending. There were a few there and a few new ones this year. But for them to have an influence on the direction of the legislation, essentially none. And I think, you know, what has happened with this is just, you know, astounding. And you wonder how they can get away with this. But they believe they've saved the world. That, you know, we saved it because now they can spend more money and there's no default. So it's pure propaganda. And a lot of people bought into it. The majority of the American people, you know, are saying, hey, great, government's back in operations again. Everything is going to be okay. But I get a little bit confused, though, on how well the propagandists are, especially in the major media, is who's to blame. Of course, they're all to blame, and Keynes is to blame, and bad economic policy is to blame, and militarism is to blame. And yet right now it seems like the left has won the argument, oh, it's only the Republicans that caused the trouble, and the president was so willing to help, and if we would have only agreed with him and settled this 2 weeks ago. So there were a few there that were determined they wanted to see some cuts. But quite frankly, when I was there, that never appealed to me, you know, to obstruct for a day or two. I was always thinking about what the future would bring. And is there any way I can change people's minds about monetary policy and what the role of government ought to be? That was more important. And that's not that I criticize people who try to slow things up and they use the process, because people can call it, you can call attention to it. It just didn't fit my nature to try to slow things up for a day and get a much enjoyment out of it. I'd much rather try to change people's mind about, you know, the Federal Reserve, you know, how does the Federal Reserve contribute to this? And yet, you know, this whole thing that it was so necessary is what really bothers me, and how they made it so much worse. Some of the things that came out of here, I am astounded how much they gain on this. So in many ways, even the vocal conservatives in the Republican Party, they didn't win anything. The president won everything, but big government won it. So you can hardly say it's the president and the Democrats when you see the Republican leader of the Senate getting a $2 billion grant for Kentucky. So that's hardly, you know, just the Democrats that want to spend the money. I think a couple things in this agreement that really is disturbing, that has a long-term approach. And one is, right now, the debt limit is suspended. I said, well, to what level? Oh, no, any level. It's just suspended. There's no such thing as a debt limit up until February. So they can do whatever they want up until February. But in order to cancel the suspension of the debt limit, the Congress has to pass a bill. And therefore, it means you have to pass a bill, and 51% say, hey, no, you can't do this without permission. But guess what? The president can veto that bill. And therefore, right now, it looks like it's going to take 2/3 of the House of Representatives and the Senate in order to reestablish this principle that there is a debt limit. So it looks like there's going to be unlimited spending. This should be very, very negative for the markets. Of course, today, as we speak, you know, gold went up and the dollar went down and the stocks are down. But markets on a short run, I see them as being very fickle, because I think long term and everything they do, I think it should be quite evident that we have a lot of inflation and that we're going to have a lot more government and we're going to have a lot more default. So I am not too surprised that the dollar went down sharply. But the other thing that happened in here is, which is something I've been predicting as well, and that is the sequester means nothing. This was one of the requirements the Democrats had, led by Chuck Schumer. He says, we're not going to talk to you. You know, and they were the ones who were saying the Republicans were the extremists and they wouldn't talk. But Obama, as well as Schumer, said, we got to get rid of this sequester. And they managed to do this, putting billions and billions of dollars back into the spending. So that essentially, I think, is going to be canceled out as the dust settles. So in total, I think this has been a disaster. People should say, you know, it's not even the same as usual. It's much worse than ever. And it's actually put into law, or almost concrete law, that there's going to be no limits on this spending. This should, you know, raise the question. And you mentioned in your opening statement about other countries saying, hey, enough is enough, and we're going to have to dethrone the dollar. Well, I don't think a conspiracy can dethrone the dollar. I think the dollar is going to dethrone itself. A currency sort of, you know, establishes itself because of its strength. And of course, the dollar was strong. You know, after World War II, it was obviously dollar was king. We had all the gold, and our country wasn't destroyed. So our dollar became the reserve currency. So when the dollar goes, and it's gradually being eroded now as the reserve currency of the world, we can't say the Chinese did it or the Russians did it. We can't blame anybody else except our extravagance. And exactly the kind of policy has been going on here this last week. It's changes so they can spend more money, borrow more money, and print more money. And under those conditions, the dollar will be dethroned. The big question is when will the final collapse of the dollar come? And that is when, of course, all the debt gets repudiated. People talk about, oh, we can't have this. We have to raise the debt limit, or we'll default on our debt. Well, we default on our debt on a daily basis because our dollar, you know, always loses money. Our policy is to purposely steal 2% of the value of the dollar, have the purchasing power of the dollar go down 2%, and that is policy. And the chairman of the Federal Reserve Boards, both Bernanke and Greenspan, admitted that was the case. And they thought that, well, yeah, that does hurt a few people. They even acknowledged the fact that the elderly who save money and make nothing on their savings, at the same time their cost of living goes up, they said that's just the price you have to pay for us wonderful people, you know, to keep the economy strong and the financial markets healthy. But that's their arrogant attitude about it. But what they have done just recently by raising the debt limit, it guarantees that they are going to just accelerate, you know, the default. This idea that they prevented the default was pure nonsense. And it's just amazing how much that was hyped. I mean, day in and day out by every outlet, a major outlet, and all the government officials had to stop, had to raise the debt limit because we couldn't have this default and then this pretense of closing down the government. You know, it's such a farce. It's just they don't want to talk about the realities of government's out of control. They spend too much money. Republicans and Democrats alike participate. They print too much money, and they have to change some basic fundamental rules that they have on what government should be doing. But it didn't happen yesterday. All what's happened on this recent debt limit increases, they made things much, much worse. And that's why we can expect the dollar to continue to go down.
Well, speaking of the detachment from economic reality in Washington, I thought the entire thing was best characterized, captured in a moment from President Obama when he offered up the brilliant suggestion that raising the debt ceiling will not add to the nation's debt.
You know, I think it's unbelievable, you know, to hear this. Let's raise the debt limit, but it won't raise the debt. I mean, this is, it does it in two ways. When you raise the debt limit, you owe more money, so it raises the debt limit. But it also psychologically means that the a problem is going to continue, because if you're able to raise the debt limit, it means that politicians won't quit spending. So it's, you lose really in a couple of different ways. But for them to argue, especially the president, to argue, well, raising the debt limit doesn't raise the debt. So what if I have a credit card that says I have $1,000 I can spend, and I'm in debt always because I max out, I have $1,000. But the credit card company comes and says, well, we like what you do. You pay the interest every month, so we're going to let you go up to $2,000. Okay, it goes up to $2,000. And then the president argues, I don't have twice as much debt. I mean, I don't know why. How often do we hear, you know, the media people, the reporters, people in the press corps, how often do they ask questions like this? Mr. President, how can you say such a thing? But fortunately, we have people outside that establishment media corps, press corps, that are asking the question and discussing it on the internet and the various other places. So, hopefully not too many people will be hoodwinked into that type of ideology.
Dr. Paul, when we continue, I'd like to spend a concluding moment on the issue of default, and that's next.
How would you like to do something that's good for you and good for America? Well, you can, just by shopping like you normally do. You see, just about everybody uses Amazon these days, because it's so easy. But from now on, when you're going to shop on Amazon, go to the podcastone.com Ron Paul page and click on the Amazon link there. When you do, a portion of whatever you buy gets kicked back to the Ron Paul Show to help keep the podcast coming and keep us from having to run tons and tons of ads, so we can be selective and focus on getting you Ron's message. So do it. Go to podcastone.com, click on the Ron Paul page, and click on Amazon. The next time you're going to buy something, use that link. You'll be helping yourself because you're buying something you want, and helping America because you're helping keep Ron Paul's messages coming. And there's no extra costs involved. You pay the same price. It's the same Amazon. If you want to help out even more, tell your friends to do the same thing. Go to podcastone.com, click on Ron Paul, then click on the Amazon link. You'll be glad you did.
Dr. Paul, it seems to boil down to this: default now or default later?
I think that that is the case, and it's always continuous. They cannot stop it unless they stop the spending. So the default will come, and that means debt will be liquidated, and you can liquidate debt in two ways. You go into bankruptcy and you write it off, which is what is permissible by the law, and there are laws that, you know, control this. Governments can even do this too. I mean, Detroit is liquidating debt and going through bankruptcy. But governments that can print their own money don't. They never do it that way. What they do is they just print the money and debase the currency. And that is what's happening. But the truth is governments could default. I would support the idea the government just default on it, on the bad debt. And I'd start with the Federal Reserve. We owe the Fed $2 trillion. Let's default on it. Why don't we wipe that off the books? Of course, if we just wiped that off the books right now and gave them $2 trillion worth of leeway on the national debt, they'd use it up in a year. You know, they wouldn't waste any time. But if we were serious about cleaning up our act, you could liquidate the debt to the Fed. Now, if you want to liquidate all the debt because the people who have to pay it back didn't get the money, somebody else in the previous generation got it. So morally, you could make the case that it's better to liquidate the debt, but then it has to be in combination with governments being believable, cutting back, having balanced budgets and living within their means and getting our house in order. But the debt is going to continue. Let's say those people who argued, the debt's going to be liquidated if we don't raise the national debt and we're going to default. Yeah, we would survive that if we'd had to, but there wasn't any chance of that happening. It's not going to happen. The debt will be liquidated. We will default, but we're going to default by paying all our bills, including the obligation for Social Security beneficiaries. We're going to default on that as well by just giving them money that won't purchase very much, if anything.
Well, it's been a very unfortunate interlude, one misrepresented by the media and one used by the governing classes to make our situation very much worse indeed. Dr. Paul, thanks for your insights and another great podcast. Ron Paul, the weekly podcast. I'm Charles Goyette.
This concludes another PodcastOne.com program.